All right, the Lord is good. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and start talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. I can't say this enough. Every genuine kind of prayer is a prayer of faith. Once the prayer is genuine, it's a prayer of faith. The opposite of the prayer of faith is a prayer of copy. It's a prayer that's not sincere. It's a prayer in which, I didn't have that one to do it before for us, in which you're asking for one thing. Your mouth is saying one thing, and your heart is saying another. Yeah, that's a very common. In fact, I think I should spend a minute on that. One of the major things that hinder faith is when faith is not congruent. The heart is believing differently from what the mouth is uttering. And that's why you have to be careful. You know, one of our brothers, he came to see me yesterday. We were talking. Something led to it. I think it's something that I say, right? There's an issue that happened to him, where family matter. He was not describing how he prayed. He's not quoted that in the Bible, say that. When you're speaking big English and shouting loud, say you never get a problem. There's no matter yet. That when matter hits the ground, like they say, when the rubber hits the road, there are prayers you will pray, you won't even say anything. Just need that and say, Heavenly Father, biko. That is... The one that you are still running up and down and describing how heavens are the mighty works of His hands and all that. You know, he's looking at you, say, Banky, leave him. There's no problem. And I enjoy the praise. It's good. But there are times in which you just kneel down there and say, Lord. If I like one woman that was said to have said this, her child had an issue. Turn to God. He said, please help me. He said, you know, if I were God and you needed help, I will help you. That was the way she prayed. He said, God, you know, if I were the one that's God and you needed help, I will help you. Believe me, that's a very serious prayer. I hope you're getting my point. Where I'm going is, I see, many times we utter words that don't align with exactly what our heart is saying. Sometimes, and that's one of the effects of having a prayer of copy in our lives. All right? We learn words. Words that are spoken in church. Words that somebody leading prayer used. The way somebody has said he prayed. Okay? But then when it comes to us praying, we are not speaking, that when we are now praying, we are not speaking from our hearts. Do you get? That often is a problem. So, and you know, people have said before that, be specific in what you're asking God for. I always say this. Don't generate unnecessary doubt in your life. Don't generate unnecessary unbelief. They say, if you're asking God for a car, tell him whether it's red you want or white. If it's blue, let him know. I disagree with that. What's my reason? Now, I am not saying that that's an absolute no-no, okay? It's not a bad thing. There's only one problem. If you ask for a particular car and say blue, if God brought white, will you accept it? If the answer is yes, then don't pray that prayer. I don't know whether you're getting my point. This thing I'm saying is very important. Anything you're ready to settle for, something else, then don't make that in a firm prayer point. So, I need a car, as an example. You just need a car, there are many things, all right? And somebody say, what you need, maybe in my heart, I actually like a Mercedes-Benz, as an example. When I want to pray, will I ask for Mercedes-Benz? It depends. If it's Mercedes-Benz or nothing, do you get? Then I'll ask for it. But of course, if I brought you the latest model out there, will you take it? Maybe a friend of yours. If the answer is remotely yes, then don't ask for Mercedes-Benz. Just describe the class of vehicle. Do you understand? Describe the class. When I say class now, do you want a luxury car, a functional car, not an everyday car? All right. The kind of thing that I advise people to do is, if maintenance is an issue, mention the maintenance. I don't want a car that anytime they say come and service it, I will start praying again. Let the Lord know about that. It's very important. Because you don't want to generate unbelief. Many things you are only asking according to what you have experienced. What I mean is what you have seen before. Sometimes eyes have not yet seen. Ears have not yet heard. Neither has it entered the heart, your own heart, actually, not just the heart of man, what God wants to do in your life. So why are you pretending like all he can do is the one you have seen? It's the reason why, now listen, when I was young, I learned that doctrine too. It's why I don't believe in paint a picture on the wall. Some people say it works. I'm not dealing with what is work. I'm dealing with what is in alignment with the principles of scripture and spiritual things. Should I put the picture on the wall? I say, how can you put the picture on the wall when you don't really know what is God is actually going to do about this situation? My illustration of the time is that of Adam. He had never seen an Eve. He did not know another human being like himself was really in the picture. You go and read the flow of that story in Genesis. You will see that the first place he looked for help, and we still do it to today, is among the animals. Horses carry you around, don't they? All right? In fact, I saw one man the other day, I had to laugh. Normally, we use dogs for companionship and stuff like that. We use cats. Cats are not as good as dogs, but they also work. He's using an alligator. I'm not kidding. Alligator. He had the harness for it. When it's going out, the alligator is walking in front of him. Of course, do I need to tell you it's not in Nigeria? I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you it's not a black African. It's not even a black American. You know, some things are just not black. Of course, a white man. So I sent to my friend, I went to my friend in the US. I said, oh boy, is this not going to grow up? Because this alligator is going to grow up. I said, and the thing was really tame. People touch it and actually cuddles the thing. When he's watching TV, the alligator is lying on the couch beside him. Seriously? I shall not say more than that. Let me mind my business. I heard a story of one woman, which is also, in fact, I heard my friend when I told him, he said, look, he said, Banky, there are more tigers in homes in Texas than are in the bush in the whole world. He said, we keep more tigers in our homes in Texas. I kind of like the look of tigers. I love it. I wish that thing would be tame. I just want Jesus to come quick so we can keep tigers. Right now, I ain't going to risk it. Until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of God. As the water covers the sea, I'm not going near there. The Lord is good. Okay, I was going to tell you a story. They said there was one woman that had a python in her home, her pet. Then one day she went to meet the vet, that the python, the way the python is behaving, they said, the vet says, is planning to eat you. That's what they told me. I wasn't there. That is the way the type of, was not eating, was not moving, was not doing. They said, no. This python is clearing his stomach. You are the next thing he's planning to swallow. I didn't feel bad hearing that. You that kept the python. Now, where I'm going with all this gist is that we act till now we use animals for things. Horses to transport us. We call them beasts of burden. You know, donkeys to help us carry things. Mules to plow our fields and stuff like that. You know, what do you call them? Anyway, all the animals we use, all right, bulls and stuff. That was all Adam would think of. But each time he knew, you know, you really can't gist with your horse. How was work today? The horse, you give him carrot, eat. You can't share your burdens with the horse. So that's what the Bible meant when it said that in all of this, there was none found, all right, fitting for Adam. Then what the Lord was just doing was demonstrating. The Lord knew. It was not discovery for him. Now, why I'm telling the story is that, or using that illustration, is that Adam did not know Eve was possible. He just knew it was lacking. So, the Lord anesthetized him, like we say, and took a rib from his side, you know the story, and formed the woman, and brought the woman to him. That was his first time. Eve was not his conception. The Bible didn't give us that indication. But the moment he saw her, he said, oh, this is now bone of my bones and flesh. He could see the resemblance. She was standing on her 2 feet, all right? She didn't have feathers. She didn't have scales. Did not have a tail. This was bone of her bone, of his bones and flesh of his flesh. It was not a fulfillment of his imagination. It was a solving of his need. Because God has more wisdom than you and I. So we don't tie his hands. I've had people tell me things like, why they want to marry. In fact, one of our sisters told me something once. I'm like, is that supposed to be? Will you warn yourself? That why he wanted to marry from their area is because the sister had an issue. And if the family of her, the sister's husband was from there now, they would have been able to solve it. You hear what I said? I want to marry from my geographical area so that if problem arises tomorrow, the families will be able to meet. Does that need a comment from me? Well, just in case you are thinking like that, please. It's very bad thought. And I told her as much anyway. But by that time, it was no longer, it didn't matter anymore. Now, let me not go further into that story. I said, if such a thing comes to your heart, and listen, things like that happen. Amen? It's not unbelief that a man and his wife have disagreements. So if you see such things happen, yeah, you pray about them ahead. The solution is with God. He's the one that knows how he will solve the problem. And he can do such a manner that you will never need your in-laws. Your in-laws will never need their in-laws. Two of you will be the ones solving family problems up and down. Nobody ever have to solve a problem for you. So you don't restrain God's hands. If I didn't talk about that as a prayer of unbelief. When you are forcing God to solve a problem one way, when the prayer you are praying is solving a problem that is not, for example, some people are, just give an illustration. You are afraid of tomorrow. And you are praying for God to give you a good job. And God is looking like, why should I give you a job? You are applying from company to company and anointing your application and sowing seed and declaring. And you are declaring. And God is just looking like, will this young man or this young woman open their heart and let me take him or her to the real place that I planned? In that place, people will be praying to get your job. Do you follow my point? So if tomorrow is your issue, what will happen to my future? Well, God says, first, don't worry about it. What does it mean, don't worry about it? Don't make plans because of it. That's worry. A lot of things we call planning is nothing but worry. Don't have to go into that in details. A lot of the things we call planning is nothing but what? Worrying. There's a principle in scripture. It says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is, life just has seasons, has an assignment for each season. Locate that one and focus on it. If the thought of tomorrow comes to your heart, give it to God. The peace of God is what he will give you in return. Because where he's taking you to, you don't know. It's a prayer of unbelief insisting God must solve a problem in a particular way. There are those who want to marry, and that's a very terrible thing. Very, very terrible. You grew up poor. All right? Now, that's not a big deal. Half of the world grew up poor. In fact, did I say half? Is it not more than half? Good. It's much more. So there's nothing strange. But your solution is that you must marry a rich man. And some even say they must marry a rich woman. That's one I don't understand. That one, I still wonder how a man wake up in the morning and his plan is to marry a rich woman. You're already upside down. Okay? Now, but let's go to the one that's more usual. It's more common. I mean, the other one also happens though. There are all kinds of... Sorry, yesterday. I don't watch football. No, World Cup is going on right now. I've not watched one match, all right? Not one. But occasionally I catch the news. They're talking about one footballer that, this guy is one of the best footballers in the world. But the one thing about him, people did not know, that was not the news. His collection of Hermes bags. Belkin. Is it Belkin or Bilkin? What do they call it? Yes, ma. That's the point. So the discussion now is his collection. And he was carrying one. I would have sworn that's the woman's bag. The picture of him as well. Well, I'm going to, this world is upside down. Men are now doing strange things, women things. Normally, you know a man for his collection of rich watches. That's rich guys. You know? What else do we collect? You see man collect belt? I never seen that one before. Even shoes, thank you. Cars, which one is the shoe? Some of them wear shoe, but men don't collect shoe like that. We wear shoe, we have, but collecting? Thank you. Why did I forget cars? What men typically collect? Cars. Sports cars of all types. All cars. They say this man, they collect bag. It's called effeminate. I know there are men who go to do manic. I'm not saying it's bad. I know men that do it. Just that no matter how much my nails are rough, I ain't going to a salon. In case you go to the salon, God bless you. It's okay. Jonathan goes. It's all right. I'm not saying that. Sorry. You don't go. Okay. I thought. Okay. Sorry. He doesn't go. I'm just looking for who to call the name. You know me. I just can't. You know, the way man wants to carry temp, cotton. Use your teeth to file the balance. Anyway, that's just a small joke. Now, so women are typically the ones that do that. Again, that's a prayer of what? Unbelief. It's a prayer of unbelief. You are forcing God to solve a problem in the way you understand it. First, you marry a rich man. The Bible says he can become poor tomorrow. There's one young woman I got to know some time ago, well, because of her school. When we were talking to her, my friend and I were lecturers. How did you get into the situation? She said, she didn't know. Anyway, she married one very... not too rich anyway, but by her standard, he was rich. But he was a political hang around. I don't want to even call him appointee. He was a political hang around. So in 4 years' time, it was all over. So the man was now very abusive. He's frustration. It's not a bad person. He's frustrated. So my friend was always solving family problems for her. Frustration. When I heard the story, I said, Kai, who deceived you? The man became frustrated. Power always shifts. So he now became broke. It's surprising I have to say these things, but people don't know them. You can't pray to God that you want to marry a rich man. Ladies, let me tell you, you cannot pray to God because of your fear of poverty that he should give you a rich husband. That way you are a liability in his life. Which is not the reason why God created you. Read your Bible. Who needed help? Do I need to say more? See, if you want to be rich, if you don't want to lack in your future, if you want to be rich, no, you don't want to be rich, all right? You just don't want your needs met. Who can tell me how you do it? You pray. You kneel down and say to the Lord, dear Lord, I don't think it's good for my children to suffer the way I did growing up. Please, give me your abundance. It's a very simple thing. Yesterday, I was still talking with my wife. In fact, I don't know what was in my heart so much. She was trying to sleep. How can you sleep when I'm... I just had things I was thinking about during the day. And I remember, I said there was a time many things happened, you know. Consecrations, dedications, we're learning the scriptures. Shortly after my NYC, I was day and night hearing the word, for, you know, going from one program to the other, going for one seminar, so and reading books and listening to messages. And I can't remember what ignited it, but at a point in time, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, see, this money people are pursuing, eh? I said, if you don't want to give me, you can keep it. Now, I wasn't joking. I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I said, you can keep it too. I won't worry about it, and I will never complain. I told him as much. I said, I will never complain. You don't want to give me a car? Don't bother. Don't want to give me this? Don't even worry. I said, but I'm promising you, I will preach the gospel as much as you want me to. He said, can I ask for one thing, however? Don't give me a wife. I said, if that's the way you want to go, I beg, don't give me a wife. I don't want children. Now, I said that one clearly. I will just go on my own. What was my reason? I said, dear Lord, if a man is hungry, he will go and sleep. I don't know. When we are hungry, we sleep. In fact, one of these, my children, I won't mention which one. I won't tell whether he's standing up right there on the camera. He had one funny habit of forgetting to eat. Do you get my point? He hasn't eaten. What happened? He asked him, you didn't eat yesterday night. I forgot. You forgot you had not eaten and you went to sleep. Was it him or the younger brother that would carry food to school and forget to eat it? And he comes back home, there's food, when we were in secondary school, food is still inside the lunch pack. Why didn't you eat? I forgot. Women are good, we are good with such things, not a problem. I told the Lord, no, I don't have a problem. I said, but the one I can't stand, I begged him, is that I don't have money, I don't have anything. And my son will say, Daddy, I'm hungry. I said, no, that one, I told the Lord, I can't stand it. I will come home, my children will say they are hungry and there's no food. So I begged the Lord. I said, please, can we have this agreement? I will do anything you want. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking for anything. You don't have to give me any. And I will go around preaching. But please, if that's the way you want to go, I must be single. I don't have a problem. It's not as if I don't have a problem, but I will manage the problem. I don't know whether I get my point. I was willing to cope with it. So I was reminding myself, I said, yes, so when I met her and she agreed to marry me, I know, say, I don't make her. I knew. See, I didn't have any doubt that my reason was I had begged God. Where I'm going is that these things are discussed with the Lord. That's where I'm going. This is I discussed with the Lord. You can't be running up and down. See, whoever's will you obey is the person you serve. You don't have to go down and bow down to money. But you're only jumping up and down because of money. You are worshiping money. You may not think so. You may think you are working honestly. But every decision you make in life is so you can get more of it. I'm just reminding us what is a prayer of unbelief. The opposite of a prayer of faith. You can't compel God, all right, that he must bring your results this particular way. Let's get back to that woman matter. See, there is nothing wrong with being, pardon me, please, let me just sit down for a moment. With being concerned about what tomorrow will be, is what you do as a result as the issue. If it takes you to prayer and you give it to the Lord, and anytime it comes to your mind, say, I've prayed about it. And let me tell you one thing God does. You know, I said the other day, the life of a Christian is what? Learning. Obeying, asking, and receiving. Yes. You keep learning. That's the primary thing. You keep learning. You keep learning. That keeps transforming you. That keeps changing you. That's what that obedience comes in. That's where the obedience comes in. That is, whatever you've learned, if you are fully persuaded, it will come out of you as what? Obedience. Anything you need, you ask the Lord for it. Now, this is what the Lord does. That's why the receiving comes in. One major thing it does for you is create doors. It opens doors. You see what I said? Yes. No, God doesn't like us running up and down. If you need a job and you have a job now, sit down there and behave as if this is all that's in this world as far as working is concerned. Wake up in the morning and think of the job. And please, let me advise you, employers. This is not part of the message, but it's good wisdom I've learned. If you have somebody working for you that doesn't think of that work, sack the person as quickly as you can. I don't know where I get the point. My wife used to have a staff. If you try to reach her on weekends, you couldn't reach her. Phone is always off. Trying to call, you can't reach. Send messages to everybody, she won't get it. Now, she has free internet, all right? So when she comes to work, everybody gets free internet. So we sent a message to the WhatsApp group now. I didn't get it. Why come you didn't get the whole weekend? It's something you have to prepare for Monday, that kind of thing. Sorry, I didn't get it. The first weekend, next weekend, it became a pattern. My wife didn't listen to me on time. I said, such persons, you sack them. Now, you're not angry. You know why? She doesn't like the work. She normally be a bad. She may not be a bad person, but she doesn't like the work. If you find a staff that the thought of your business does not consume the individual, plan to fire that person eventually. It won't do good for you. I know what I'm telling you. But it's not the boss I'm talking about now, it's you. If you are working in a place, their matter should be your matter. Even if the car wash, people are running, you are operating. You should be concerned whether they get water or they don't get water. Discuss with the boss. Sir, don't you really need to we have a collector so that we can be getting water so that we won't have to be paying tankers, you know the way no good can be. Okay, where are they supplying us water from? Where are we getting? You should be thinking about it. It should concern you. If you have a way by which they will save money on an operation, go and suggest. Now, you're not trying to, what do you call it? It's not high service. You're not trying to make more money. But you are just concerned. That's, you know, remember there are three kinds of workers. I've taught it here before. What are the three types of people that work? Hirelings. Okay, we're coming from below. Number one. Hirelings. Number two. True shepherds, or good shepherds, and number three, owners. And I said most times the owner is the good shepherd, all right? Uh-huh. So the owner is that shepherd, but then not all the time. A good worker, all right, will also be a good shepherd. And they will think the person is the owner. And our best example in the scriptures, at least one major example, was Jacob in the house of Laban. He treated Laban's goods as if they were his own. David was an owner, quite all right, because the stuff belonged to his dad. But just look at David also. The way he gave himself, risked his life for the sheep. All right? That's it. So, a good Christian should be a good worker. A good worker is concerned. You know, it's easy to know who owns something. You get the why is one light on? You put it on. You know, when you are the one paying electricity bills, you know, you relate with electricity usage differently. Somebody walks out of a room, and this industrial fan is left on. Those things are like 250 watts. You know, you will climb up to go and put it off. But if you are a hireling, doesn't concern you. Okay? I just want to drop that. Christians must be what? Good workers, good shepherds, wherever they are working. So, back to what I'm saying. So what does God do? He put it somewhere. I want to say something that's funny. If you're working in a particular place, stop looking at somewhere else. Meanwhile, if you, some of the things I say, they appear hard. If you want to, discuss it with your boss, your manager. Sounds crazy, right? Yeah, but if you can't do it, then maybe what you are doing is not good. Don't take leave, casual leave, please. I have some pressing personal matters to go and attend interview somewhere else. That's wickedness. Now, that's not our message, but I'm stuck on it. Many people need to know what Christianity is. Christianity is a very, very crazy life. Other people will hear of it. They wonder what is wrong with you. We Christians behave funny. I know what I'm saying. One man told a story, and it was interesting because I want Christians to learn it. It's an employer of labor. I'm not sure he's a Christian, but I saw his video, short video, either a TikTok video somebody was sharing or YouTube shorts, one of those kind of videos. He said, one day conducted an interview, all right? And he was interviewing people for a particular job. He met this guy. The guy was very good, perfect for the job. So he offered him the employment. The guy accepted. Okay, resume on Monday. All right, fine. As the interview was on Thursday. Then on Monday, Early in the morning, the guy called and begged that, please, he has a pressing matter. He will come in late. Do you get? Okay, when do you want to come in? Please, I'll be there maybe around 11 or 1, something like that. First day, but let me just sort some things out. Then around 11, all right? He called the man. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I have to decline your job. I don't want to call it offer anymore because he had accepted it. He said, please, I think I will not be resuming. The guy said, why? He said, you know that place I told you I had to go? I had a pressing matter. He said, it was another job interview. And that the guy, listen to this, that the person offered me a better deal. So you understand now, I have to take that offer. The man said, yes, I understand. You have to take the offer. But listen to this before you go. You came for interview on Thursday, and you're supposed to resume work on Monday, right? Assuming I kept on interviewing people on Friday, on Saturday, then I got somebody who is better than you, or who I will pay less, who's as good as you, and I will pay him less. And then when you come to resume work on Monday, I say, oh, come, let's have a chat. Hey, you know, I think I found somebody better than you. I'm sorry. You know, I have to get the best for my business now. Please, I'm so sorry. I have to withdraw my appointment. So how will you feel? People are saying that it's very easy. And that's how most of us are. Is the employer. He can take it. But we don't, Bible says, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So what did he do? He came, got the job with this man. That gave him a good offer. You know, the way they do in some of those places. So assuming that man said, okay, I'll be paying you, I don't know, just, it's not Nigeria, they're just purpose of discussion, $1,000 a week. So next place he went, he said, I've already gotten a job for $1,000 a week. If you don't give me $1,200, there's no point. So he used that man's offer to negotiate a higher pay for himself. In case you don't know, if you're a Christian, first, let me just say something. God will show you pepper. Are you getting my point? No, he will grind the pepper for you. He will rub it into sensitive parts of your body. Are you getting my point? One of them, your eyes. You will see pepper. That is wickedness. Let me tell you something. Like, in this life, we don't have to be sharp. God will give you what is your own. He will reserve it for you. Do you get my point? All right, good. So, how Christians work, and that's what I'm talking about. All right? So, whatever job God has given you now, I will be doing it very well. When the time comes, it will open another door for you. That's what I'm making. How God lifts people is true. Or how lifts, not leads now. How God lifts people is that he starts opening doors for you. You won't force the doors open by yourself. He will be the one to open the doors. I pray we learn to trust God and trust. A lot of people run up and down. Needlessly. Those days when I was in Lagos, people would take a job in a bank. And the most annoying thing I've seen in people till today is that they don't know how to honor agreements. Have you noticed it? If you tell somebody, okay, if you take this job, you work with me for 6 weeks. After 3 weeks, it's going. In fact, those who hire people like tailors, they are the ones that suffer the most. I've seen that thing. You spend money to bring somebody into, as soon as it settles down, are you looking for better options? Now, people of the world, they can do it too. They will get away as much as getting away can happen to them. I don't know. But if you are a Christian, don't worry. God is waiting for you in front. There are things Christians are not supposed to do. They are not supposed to do. Christians are faithful people. What did I say? Christians are faithful people. If you agree to something, keep it. Keep the agreement. If you know you will not be able to keep it, don't agree to it. Now, you know, I'm desperate for work. Now, they say, okay, please, you sign a bond to work for a year. I told you the one of our brothers said, so he told me about. Now, listen, brethren, Christians are good people. Some things are bad. Anything you don't want people to do to you, don't do it. This brother said he met one of the brethren, a brother he knows. He met him in an international airport abroad. Alright? So they just stumbled into each other in an airport. What's going on? What are you doing here? Said, my company sent us for training. Now, this is abroad. You see what I said? Not in Nigeria. He was a company in Nigeria. They sent them for training abroad. So he stopped and said, did you not tell me you were relocating to North America? So this company that's sending you for training abroad, they're investing money in you. Why do you think he's doing it? To improve productivity in his company. And you know you are living in the next 2 months. In case you are like that, let me tell you, Pastor, I did it, there's no problem. Refund the whole money. And don't go and tell the man, I want to refund. No, refund it first. Not the one that you'll be discussing so that the man can say, don't worry. Worry. And I'm telling you, if the man insists, you don't worry, look for that money, give it to the poor. And redeem yourself. Come on, that's wickedness. No, a lot of people do very wicked things. They don't realize that Christians don't behave like that. You know the cost of ticket? International flight? The cost you are going for, he had to pay for each person. See, even if he's Dangote, he has money. A bad thing is what? If it's bad, it's bad. Forget who you are doing it to. A bad thing is a bad thing. This sharp behavior is not our portion. We Christians, we don't do it. We are accountable. Oh, when it comes to money, our honesty is, how can I describe it? Anyway, it's impeccable. Financial accountability, we are impeccable. That's Christianity. We are impeccable. Sometimes, have you seen this before? Hey, too busy. We'll get back to our message. You will have to remind me of where we began from. Because now I'm just talking. There's something that's very common in companies. I'm sending you work for my company. I'm sending you to Lagos. I pay hotel. What do you call it? Is it hotel bill or hotel? What do you call it now? Anyway, money for hotel, lodging. I'll pay money. All right? But usually what they do is that you stay in the hotel, you bring the receipt. Are you getting my point? And then they reimburse you. Good. What some people do is that they go there, they don't stay in the hotel, they stay with family, and they come back home, and they want to claim the money. Now, this is what happens. Listen. Now, I want you to understand how we Christians reason, how human beings reason, and what is crazy about Christianity. It's logical. This is human logic. That he will have given me, let's assume it's 40,000 a night. Just make it easy, all right? I stayed for 3 nights. That's 120,000, right? He was going to spend the money anyway. I am the one that now, are you getting me? Decided to find another way. So you come, you claim the 120. Now, people say, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm teaching. Is that okay? So I don't want to hear your opinion, even in your heart. Yes, I'm not asking you. I don't want any rationalization. All right? Just listen to me. The man was going to spend the money anyway, or the company was going to spend the money. That is true. But did you spend the money? No. Then why are you lying? Then you now go and collect receipt. Somebody asked me the other day that he did some jobs. They paid him. They said he should give them a blank receipt. In fact, we were just telling me that I gave him advice. I said, don't do it. You know, they call blank receipt. So the whoever paid you will now go and fill whatever he likes on your receipt. So maybe the job for you was 100,000 naira. You give them a blank receipt. They'll go to their office and say it's 250,000. First, you are a co-conspirator. What did I call you? I'm happy we're talking about this. Christians should just know some things are not Christianity. See, if you don't do it like that, they won't come to buy from you. Your customers are ordained by God. Angels will bring them. Just bear that one in mind. It is not your responsibility to make yourself prosper. It is your responsibility to be obedient, to be faithful, to please God in all that you do. The Bible says he brings down one. He's the one that lifts up another. He's the one that lifts people low. He said because of that, they won't be buying from your place again. Then let them go to their fellow sinners. We have not been called to be rich in this life. We have been called to obey God. Let them go to their fellow sinners. Now, this is not why you are doing what you are doing, but let me just say this. Those same people, when they need an honest person tomorrow, you know, they will come to your place. The same man that said, give me a blank receipt. When he becomes the boss, he will never trust your receipt. But if you refused him, now this is not why you are doing it. You are doing it because it's right. I'm just trying to show you some part of life. If you refused him, the day his own business, he will insist that he must buy from you or patronize your service because he knows you will not give blank receipts. But again, that's not why we're doing it. Why are we doing it? Because it's right. We love doing what is right. Why will you go and claim money for hotel accommodation that you did not use? One of my friends then, high-ranking guy, one of these big multinationals, when they transferred him from Lagos, we were born in Lagos then, somewhere in the north. So I said to him, so he was staying in the hotel for 30 days. Did you get that? He lived in the hotel for 30 days. So you don't know anybody in Kano? He said, no, my cousin stays there. So why did you stay with your cousin? He said, my company is going to pay. So I should let them pay. And I said, Banky, I can't forge receipts for anybody. I don't know whether I get it for it. What most people do, they won't stay there. They will stay with it. He said, but if I stay with my cousin, that money that they are supposed to pay, the only way I'll get out of them is to lie. He said, you know I can't do that. I said, my brother, that is true. He said, since there's no other, he said, since the hotel is comfortable, are you getting my point? You know, in your cousin's house, there's power failure. You can't force him to put on the generator. You get my point? And this was northern Nigeria. So if one of those hot days, NEPA goes off, oh, what's wrong with this NEPA? If the guy doesn't get up, you can't wake him up. So you will endure your suffering. So he just told himself, let me stay where the people are willing to pay. What I'm telling you, so he said, I can't forge receipts for anybody. So sometimes, people ask me, they want to argue in their heart. I said, there's no problem. Go and tell the boss, this is what I did. I can't tell him then, it's a deed of darkness. If the boss, if you go to the boss, say, sir, I have a cousin who housed me for that time. Will you guys give me some money? He said, no problem. No, we can give you like half of the money. Take it. And when you get to your cousin's house, buy the food. Because some people now, they don't realize that money is only their own. Your cousin is paying rent. So you cannot pay him, buy food. Every time you are coming home, bring bread. Every day you go out in the morning, at night. I said, why are you always bringing bread? I said, more the chop, but in your mind. Do you follow my point? But if you cannot be open about it, it's a deed of darkness, don't do it. See, let me tell you, righteousness, now, please listen to me carefully, does not pay. It is not meant to pay. I wanted to repeat what I said. What did I say? Good. If you're talking about eternal things, it pays. It's demanded. But that you will do what is right, you will now become richer. That one is fake. It's not true. It doesn't work like that. And when I see testimonies, that like, sometimes I don't like them. Now, I used to enjoy them, give them, and once in a while, I tell those stories too. But if you notice, I always say that, please, this is not why I'm telling this story. Because people now assume that anytime you do what is right, at the end of the day, you'll be vindicated by being rich. No, many times, at the end of the day, you know what they do to you? Do you want to know? They arrange you to be fired. Because you are not letting things flow. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You're not letting things flow. I mean, that's why do you think Daniel ended in the lion's den? You think everybody likes your righteousness? In this world of today, you are doing holier than thou. That's what they will tell you. Brother, do you know why you are holy? Do you know why you are doing holier than thou? Should I tell you? Who can tell me? Because you are holy. And you are supposed to be holy. As your heavenly Father is holy. You're supposed to be perfect as Heavenly Father is perfect. If they decide not to be like Heavenly Father, it is sad, but you are more perfect than thou. If they decide not to be holy like Heavenly Father, then you are holier than they are. Now, it's not your fault after you're just doing your holiness. They are the ones that started the comparison. When I decided not to cheat, did I ask you not to cheat? You are the one that said, I'm doing holier than thou. I'm doing my... I don't know whether this is good or bad. One day, one man did to me in school. He asked me for light, for cigarette. Young man on campus. So. That's where I answered him that I don't smoke. He said, you think you're better than me? I said, are you doubting it? What kind of nonsense is that? You're smoking, I don't smoke. He said, am I better than you? Bro, I mean, you are the one that brought it up. I was just telling you matter of factly, I don't indulge in this. You think you're better than me? We're both young students. I say, oh boy, are you doubting it? Wipe that thing from your mind, though. I am better than... Not in myself, but Christ is in me. And the Bible says, let him that boast in the Lord. So don't come and make me. No, I don't mean like that. I mean it like that. And if you want to be as good as me, come now, we'll go to the same place. So when somebody is doing holier than thou, you must never reduce your holiness to shut people's mouth from saying, doing holier than thou. So are you saying you are holier than thou? Say, I'm holy like God, leave it. I'm pursuing God, I'm not pursuing you. Listen, sometimes you have to know how to answer people. See, you are not my standard. Tell the person, you are not. The Lord is my standard. So I'm not comparing, you say holier than thou. Am I comparing yourself with myself with you? No, I'm not. The person I'm comparing myself with, I'm not even near yet. So allow me to go on my journey. Me and you are not pursuing the same thing in this life. You are pursuing money and pursuing eternal pleasure. I want God to be pleased. Let's get it clear. And let me tell you, share it to you. We'll get back to our message. Always do these things with boldness. It will save you trouble later. I did my NYC somewhere in Taraba State. They will approach me, being a doctor, to come and, these days, they have drugs they use. Those days, everything was surgical to terminate pregnancies. They will come and I say, wait. Sorry, I don't do such things. Doc, why not? I say, because if I do, I go to hell. The discussion had to continue. Are you getting my point? Yeah, end of story. You see, when you are saying, you say it's not good, you see, it's not good, sometimes, then we can be having discussions. But when I bring hell matter, nobody can persuade me to go to hell. Because he couldn't behave himself, he has injured somebody, and he's not trying to solve his problems. I said, no, you know that thing? There was one clinic I worked those days in Lagos. I still remember the name of the clinic, I remember the part of the Lagos. Those days, the man said that all he's asking me to do is date the pregnancy. He will do the termination. Because he used to bill according to the date. And I said, it's not a difficult thing to date a pregnancy. It's not hard. So just examine the patient, date the pregnancy, write it down and let him have it, and he will terminate it. So you notice that I insisted on treating the malarias. we ran to two clinics. It was his private hospital. He stayed in one clinic and sat in the other one. So that day he called me. One patient comes and says they are looking for someone that's missing. I always tell them that, please, I don't know where how to find it. Go. So they will take them. So you see patients waiting for him, of course, young ladies at this door. Me, I'm waiting for those who are sick, who have fever. And I had some good patients, really. One woman brought her sister-in-law one day, I didn't know I had gotten a good reputation as a young guy. So she came, she had she just delivered. So he had some, I think it was a UTI or so. So he had been taking tablets for malaria and all of that. He didn't go. So they now brought, this woman just showed up one day. And after I finished examining and everything, and I wrote prescription for antibiotics and all of that, then one of them smiled, said, I told her that once we see you, I didn't know that my gist was already spreading, that this guy is good. I stayed there for just a few weeks. By the time I spoke with a lot of confidence. I told her, no, don't worry. No, this is not, So it's people like that was the ones I was attending to. So one of those days, I had worked only for 3 weeks. The man summoned me to his office. I came. What is the issue? And you see, he's the one that sent all the, look at the amount of money that came from his own clinic, my clinic. I should see the money and all of that. I say, Oga, well, you know why now? Like, there's no need to, do you get? I said, sir. He said, and as I explained that, no, I should understand. You know, I said, sir, you know, I don't know. I think it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't know I was that cool. I said, Chief, you have to understand something here. I cannot argue this matter. I said, there's nothing I want to say that will persuade you. And don't even think about persuading me. Yeah, I told him like that. I said, Oga, you advertise for a registered medical practitioner. I'm fully registered. And the laws of this nation doesn't follow this. So I didn't play you. I didn't blindside you. He didn't ask for who will call. I said, he's not asking me to do this. Just ask me to. I said, sir, it's like, I've forgotten the words I use. It's conspiracy. I mean, I'm a cool conspirator. I forgot exactly how I explained it. So he talked and talked. I said, sir, it's a religious conviction for me. That's where I'm going. Okay, it's a religious conviction. And you can't, you cannot argue away a religious conviction. Say, in that case, I can't work for him. I say, sir, I fully understand. I'm not angry. I fully understand. I was fired on the spot. I walked back to the clinic, finished the other patients I had, packed my things. As I was leaving, there was one new doctor I just employed. That one was frantic. Like, he was just resuming work. I think he just resumed a few days before. So I met him. He said, what happened? I told him, I'm sorry, I have to leave. And what happened? I explained it to him. I noticed that he was worried. Now, I may have been wrong, but I think what happened to him was that he was shocked at the way I took his stance. And I just picked my things and left. And no, I'm sorry. The man gave me a check, even overpaid me dinner. And as soon as I got home, I used the money to go and buy shoes. I didn't have shoes. I used the money to go and buy shoes. Where I'm going is, I see, start saying things with boldness and use the name of God well. Tell them, I will go to hell. So let's do like this. We'll share the money, or God will not know. It's okay, God will not know. But God will know. He'll punish me. Once you say it like that, they will leave you alone. Next time they want to do something that is not right, they kind of will, they will excuse you. However, let me tell you this. The day they have problems, they are looking for who will pray for them. It's your office, so. Share, you know. I know what I'm telling you. It is your office they will come to. They just say, but are you there? Yeah. Please, oh, my wife just called me. This won't happen. This won't happen. I don't know. I don't know whether you can pray for me. Pray. Don't do any, but I want. No. Just pray for the person. That's how you know that, see, this is your stance for righteousness. People are noticing it. And that's what God wants to. People say, see, knocking doors from house to house, preaching the gospel is a good thing. All right? It's not a bad thing at all. It's very good. But the one that I believe, all right, first, this is important, but I personally believe is probably more important, is the one to in which you stand by your faith, live righteously, and wait for them to ask questions. No, I will do the word wait. And answer questions when you are asked. Why are you like this? Explain the reason why. Say this thing. Oh boy, if I follow this path, I may make money now. Of in future, what God will do to me? I don't want to wahala. You know, I'm a believer in Christ. Some of you can get away with it, or maybe, I don't know. But people like me, Jesus is marking it. That's how you preach the gospel. And I'm warning those Christians who make their life persuade people that the gospel is nothing, to be careful. You see what I said? Yeah, a lot of us, the way we live, when people observe us, we have proven to them that there's nothing to the gospel. We don't make any decision that's not in agreement with them. That they never find us odd. For example, let's just use marriage matters. All your rules for marriage, running a home, is exactly like theirs. And is in agreement with your village laws. Do you get my point? Your money management principle is exactly the same. When they say contribute money for something in the office, you complain like everybody else. You are afraid like everybody else. Listen to this. You will criticize government like everybody else. I tell Christians all the time, be careful when your opinion is common. You know my common? Like you hold an opinion, example, on politics. And it's exactly the same opinion that I will get from a beer parlor. If I take a random keke and enter, and random people are talking, it's exactly what they will say. You should be concerned. And for that one, you should be concerned. Christianity is a radical thing. There's a reason why they used to hate Christians. There's a reason why they used to persecute them. Now, most likely in this our nation, maybe southern Nigeria where we are, nobody is coming to kill you because you're a Christian. Not an absolute no-no. I mean, not like it's absolutely impossible, but it's just not our thing. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's not really. All right? But listen, the hatred has not gone away. That as a spiritual principle, it hasn't gone away. You will be at home, village setting, and they will have to solve a problem. And your opinion will make them hate you. It will happen. That's where Christianity will start. They will call you a fool one day. And if they have not, see, you are not, now what I want to say, well, let's see how it goes. If nobody ever thinks you odd amongst unbelievers, you have a serious, either you are not born again, or your faith is very shaky. I hope you're getting my point. It can even be, see, traditional family setting as an example. You treat your wife like everybody else treats their wives. Do you get? In your extended, in your clan. And they have not called you woman rapper. Are you? They have not insulted you. Your marriage is not good. Unless they are all Christians. They should find you odd. Maybe they want to do something. You're talking about money. You say, okay, let me talk to my wife. I say, why you bring your wife into this matter? I say, what do you mean? It's not money we're discussing. This is a lot of money. You're talking about 1.5 million naira here. How would I spend 1.5 million naira and my wife will not know about it? Hey, forget it now. Hey, forget it. That's the kind of thing I'm saying. There's the way you will conduct when you're talking. Now, you're not trying to show off. It's just that your life must be different. Very important. They will talk politics. Please, go and learn divine opinion. Share it and make your enemies early. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
I keep on telling people, young people, that if the first time you want to quarrel with your parents is on the choice of who you will marry, you waited too late. You've never had a diverging opinion all this while until you now fall in love. Oh boy, you fell. You know what I'm saying? You fell. You know what they call fall in love? Yeah, it's not a very ungodly thing, all right? But yeah, seriously, there's nothing like falling in love. There's nothing like that. It's a very unscriptural principle that many of us get involved in. I did too, but I mean, I'm not saying that. It's not something to hang on. Look, if you fall in love now, wash your face, get up. What happens? Hey, bro, I fall. I don't start. I mean, dust yourself. I beg, get up, move. It's not that your brain is not working again. You now want to disagree. Let them know you're a Christian. Today is your first day. I beg, when your parents disagree that you won't marry that girl, you say, leave them. It's not God. Leave that thing. Because it's the first time they are seeing that your opinion on things, that they are different. You know, one day, my elder brother did something there. One day I just remembered it. I said, Kai, I really must have been doing things different for a very long time. We are home. So we were just talking about future is going to be that he's going to be a very important person, that he will make sure that our younger brother comes to stay with him, that if they make him stay with me, you understand? That was the smallest guy in the house, much younger than the rest of us, that the boy will suffer. I said, why will he suffer? He said, we are jumping from one crusade to another. I said, one day I remembered it. I didn't just came out of the blues. He said, I will just come when they say he's sick. I just go there. In Jesus' name, be well. And then I will go away. He said, but he will take time to take good care of him, take him to hospital, buy him food, buy him this, buy him stuff. But me, I'll just lay hands on him and disappear. I remember that thing some time ago. I said, wow. And this was my, like, sometime midway through university. So by the time matter of marry from here, no marry from here, nobody, everybody, you see, everybody knew that you don't talk to this guy. Don't bother. He always reasoned upside down. Persecution still exists till today, even in a supposedly Christian environment. If you bother to stand by your faith, do you get my point? It's just on small things. They just dislike you. Like you're in an office where they say sign when you come in. All right? They say sign for 8 o'clock. It's a sign. Cutoff is 8 o'clock. You get there at 8:05. And you write 8:05. What happens to the person who signs after you? So everybody will not be 8:05, 8:05. Because, meanwhile, if they had come before, they would have found a way around. But now that you have gone to write 8:05, you've reported yourself that you are late. That one doesn't concern them. Now they are also late. After a while, they won't like you. They can't tell you not to sign in, can they? So they are just wondering, what would do to this person? No. You know what I found out? People are still wicked. They can lie and bear false witness against you so you'll be removed from that department. And if that ever happens to you, rejoice. Be happy. If that ever happens to you, be happy. Just make sure, that's the only thing I just want to add. Make sure that's what happened. Because some Christians are bad people. So when people don't like you, you say it's because of righteousness. Sometimes, let me just quickly drop this. If you are lazy, they won't like you. Whether they are believers or unbelievers, they will not like you. If you are wicked, you know what they call wicked? Some people are wicked. When they are contributing money, you will not contribute money that they may use it to buy beer. You know, stupid excuses for not contributing money for departmental party. Some people are looking at me like, you've not seen that before. All of you are looking like I said something that you've not heard before. You say, Pastor, you say I should pay the money. Pay the money. They say you should drink the beer. Go there, eat the abacha. Would abacha not be there? Malt will be there. Coke will be there. You don't want to pay. That's when I said that. They will use part of the money to buy beer. Have you seen this one before? People go for a bank. They give them list 5 cartons of beer. Say, we don't drink beer in our church. Did they say you should drink it? I understand that it's zeal. Zeal for righteousness. My friend, buy them their beer and go their way. What is your problem? Say, no, I cannot give them money to buy palm wine. Ah. Hey, God is good though. Did they say you should drink the palm wine? Say, no, if I give them, it's the same thing. Okay, let me not start discussion on that. But let me just beg you. It's not everything you make a prayer point. Are you getting my point? If the village people say they want to bring palm wine, that you're the one that will pay for it, bro, tell them that Pastor Bank said you should pay. But not drink, since you don't want to drink. I didn't say if you drink, you go to hell. Did I say that? But please don't stop asking me to pray or something, say in the name of Jesus. They will not ask for palm wine. Behind your back, I'll give them the money. I say, God has answered the prayer. Don't worry about it. Where I'm going now, sometimes some people, they are not nice. So people don't like them. They now say it's persecution. That's not what I'm preaching on. I hope you're getting my point. If they are doing, they are gathering money in the office. They want to go and visit somebody whose person died. You don't know now. When you give them the money now, they may use it to smoke taba. Do you know what's taba? Huh? Okay, snuff. So you won't contribute. So the department will carry money there. Your own is consumed. In fact, they will get maybe 42,500. Your 7.5 is missing. They won't fill it up so that they will know that you did not give them money. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. If you are like that, you're a wicked soul. What did I call you? You should be a generous person. I don't care how broke you are, give your own portion. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. But let's leave that. If you are not a wicked soul, if you are a kind person, all right? If you are the one that will share, you do what is right. But people still don't like you because sometimes you have to take your stance. They share money they're not supposed to share, you refuse. And please, let me just tell you another thing. Let them know early that you report. Why is everybody looking at me funny? I know some of you don't understand some of these things I'm saying. You know what they say? You report. Tell them, say, if you share that money in my presence, if a guy asks, I will tell you. See, let them, because I know sometimes we have this conflict. You don't want to seem to be, tafia like, what do you call it? Olofufu, thank you. Thank you. Ah, you know Olofufu? Amebo. I want to beg you, early in your office, let them know you are an Amebo. You are Olofufu. You they tell. And say it loud there. See, if you do it in front of me, if a guy asks, I will tell you, I don't cover. Let them know early. Who told Oga? Let them know it is you. So if you want to do what is bad, don't do it in front of me. Do it behind. Oga sent us somewhere. He gave us 100,000. We spent only 62,000. His change is 38,000. He said we should share it. Please, don't even try it. Because if he asks me, I'll say, sir, yes, everything we spent was 68,000. Where's the 32? It's not in my hand. I think I handed over to Ambrose there. Ambrose, our guy is calling you. What is wrong with you? Even if you don't want to, did I tell you to get the money? So, oh boy, if I keep quiet, I'm bearing false witness. If I bear false witness, I will die and go to hell.
I know I'm telling you this is, when you tell people these things early in the course of your actions, they will give you space and they won't give you conscience problems. They won't like you. But I tell you, the day they have problems, you are the one that will pray. I know what I'm telling you. How do you, so, Chibeze, can I remember what we were saying? We've come, you know what he said? He said, we have come a long way. That's how Chibeze is helping me today. I've come a long way. Thank God today, I my anointing is upon me to remember. I know what I was saying. No, we say all of this from prayer. Yes, unbelief. That's one kind of unbelief I did not explain. Pray one thing, and a heart is somewhere else. And that it goes into making us ask God to solve problems. So the things we are really asking for is not what is inside the heart. And I was explaining. Learn to pray sincerely, all right? From there, we now went to all of these things, okay? So instead of, I just find a place to get back. So instead of trying to stand and say, no, exactly this is what I asked the Lord for, try and ask him for what real things, the real problems. If it's issue you are afraid of what tomorrow holds, go there, ask him, Lord, tomorrow, let me give it into your hands. Take care of it for me. And I said, wherever you are, be faithful. Then he will come there and open what? Doors for you. That's what he does. He opens doors. I said the other day, see, as a matter of fact, any work you are doing is not meant to solve all your problems. It's not meant to make you rich. It's meant to help you, of course, develop in righteousness, do what is right, be faithful, bless other people. And then, please, this is something that I got to understand recently. I've been telling people, along the line, maintain good relationships. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Yes. In righteousness, of course. See, if you offend your customer, all right, and it's justified, that is, the man is justified to be offended, go and solve that problem. There are different ways you will solve it, but make sure you solve it. You know, I was in my office the other day. There's one very, if you enter my office, there's one very beautiful couch there, all right? It's well built. One guy built it for me in town here. Well built. And I built in such a manner that it serves as both a sitting area and a bed you can sleep on. If you lock the door, you lie down there, you will sleep well. All right? So one of my guys now came and said, ah, chief, please, who built this thing for you? I want to build something like this for my house. And the only thing I had to tell him was that the guy is not all right. Yeah. This guy, I don't think he's okay. Because of things he did to me subsequently. I don't know why some workmen are like that. Once they grab you as your customer, they treat you with a lot of disregard. Please, I'm begging Christians, don't let that happen. My wife used to do a lot of trading those days. She had these guys who used to sell her wholesale things in the nature. They used to do one thing, very interesting. If they don't see her for a while, they'll be calling to greet. I don't know whether you're getting it. Ah, madam, how are you? How's the family? Well, we said they just check on you. You know what they are calculating? Did she go somewhere? Are you getting my point? Ah, because when this woman comes, will they sell plenty? Ah, 1 month has passed now, you've not heard from her. They will die. How are you doing, ma? They will greet very well. I said, these guys are good with their business. And after a while, she's gotten to know some of them those days. In fact, they used to give me the impression that, a trader, you can never take his money. It's not true. She will buy things. Sometimes it's the following day, 2 days later that she will pay. If she's doing, they just pack everything. Madam, I have a sip. They'll help her load the whole thing. When she now gets home, she'll now sit down, start transferring money to people. They don't worry. And if they don't see her for a while, they start calling. Madam, I understood their issue. This woman, because if this business goes to another shop, yes, now. That's how good business people behave. Yet I've seen a lot of people who rendered me service. They will offend you. You will stop, and they won't even bother to look for you again. I say, you can't grow like that. But I don't want to see, we're not doing business seminar now. Is that what we're doing? No, let me just sit on my issue. Whatever you are doing in life, maintain
good relationships in righteousness. And as a matter of fact, one day I was talking to one of our guys. I mentioned a few people, very well-to-do Nigerians. In fact, one of the people I mentioned made it to a number one slot. I won't mention it online now because we are talking. Because anybody, once I mention, they will know who it is. Okay? Made it to one number one spot worldwide. I said, you think it's struggle that this person used to get there? And I told the story. I said, relationships. You can be angry, that's your problem. But God used people to open doors. I mentioned another fellow, all right? Prominent guy, if I mention the name, well, most people here will know, all right? Especially if I tell you the state. I say again, how did he become what he is today? Very big businessman. If you are counting financial worth, these are people who are worth, both of them, hundreds of millions, counting the US dollars. I don't mean naira. I told his story also. I said, it's just the people that they were doing small business with along the line. That one day just said, no, oh boy, come. There's this thing we are doing. Why don't you come and get involved in this business? Don't worry, we'll guide you along the line. And being a faithful person, he became a very massive businessman. So, in this life, whatever you are doing, please, I'm begging people who are doing, stop making your customers unduly angry. Now, some people are difficult. People like that, they exist. One day, one guy came to me, he said, whether I should help him get somebody to help him do this job. I looked, I said, I know go sure say I fit to, because I knew how difficult the person he was. So I told the person I knew, I said, I have a guy, he says he wants this kind of job done, I know you do that. Will you be willing to do it? But let me warn you ahead, he's a very difficult man. I said, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. He said, but I know difficult people like that. I know how to handle them. I said, good. So I linked the two of them. After 1 week, he said, sir, this your man is very difficult. I said, oh. They ended up, when the guy saw me, he said, wow, that man you sent to me, he's a very useless man. I look at the two of them. This was why I didn't want to help you in the first place. And you, I warned you, said you don't have a skill for this. Now, there are customers like that, I know. So there are exceptions like that. But generally, except you run into people like that, you don't create unnecessary offense. And if people get offended at you, fix it. Sometimes you will lose money. Fix it. It's not every business that will bring you, what they call it, financial profit. No, not everyone. Not everyone. But every single business should give you a good relationship with people. People should be able to beat their chest that, is this man that did this? One day they should remember you. For somebody needs something. You are the one they will think of. Sometimes it's not because you are the best in the business. Just that you are the easiest to relate with. They have a good memory of you as a person. Their services we all use, we are praying for the day we'll have an alternative. They are so good, we keep using them. And we are praying that God, one day you will deliver us from needing these people. I don't want to mention names. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's one of them now. They're having serious problems. Of course, the business is almost shutting down in this country. And I said, this is the reason why. Your customers never liked you. So the moment they had an opportunity, they disappear. So what you do with your business, serve people, maintain good relationships, develop righteousness, showcase the righteousness of God. Make sure that the name of God is never blasphemed because of you. As a man I met once, of course, big businessman, man he was. He owned a merchant bank at the time. He owned it. When things went down, banking sector collapsed many years ago in Nigeria, the man said, he said that he told himself, I represent God in this business. Nobody should lose money because of me. He said, I paid all my depositors. So all of them got their money back. What he did not know, that was not why he did what he did, was that later on, the head of state then started imprisoning everybody else. But you see, he did it for the sake of righteousness. But God used that to deliver him from imprisonment. We're talking about what? Faith. The prayer of faith. So I'm talking about a prayer of what? Unbelief. This one particular one we did not talk about. It is unbelief for you to insist God should solve a problem in a particular way. That's not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith for you to commit things into his hands. I was giving the example of, God, because I don't want to suffer in this life, give me a rich husband. God said, Lila, I will give you a husband that needs you. I will give you a husband that together you guys can serve me. I will give you a husband that loves me. I will give you a husband that knows me, that can lead you in righteousness. That's what you need. That's what you need. Funny enough, I found out in this life, you don't need anything for yourself. What you'll find out later, don't worry. If you are still young, you think you need money. When you are old enough, you just want God to take care of your loved ones. Let him just give you peace of mind. Where I'm going is that sometimes, you may still struggle with the man you end up marrying and all of that, but then God says, don't worry about it. I will take care of your children. It's better you marry like that than go and marry a man that doesn't know God. And your first two small sons, one is smoking igbo, the other is using kurumiri. All the money you have, you will see money, you will hate it, knowing that it can't solve your problem. Right now, many of us love money because we think that it will solve problems. Don't worry, you will soon reach a place in life where you look at your bank balance, hundreds of millions, and you are angry. You know why you are angry? As you plenty rich like this morning, yet you can't do anything for somebody. Yeah, a lot of people discover that. You know, when you tell them early now, they think you're just talking. But the fact is that everybody will get to that point in which you will look and say, God, take all this money. Just give me peace here, 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 here. Take care of my children. Take care of my loved ones. Take worry away from my heart. I'm telling you, a prayer of faith is that one that really allows God to do his own thing and makes prayers, that is like makes requests according to God's order. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So why will a Christian man sit down? He wants to ask God for a wife. He forgets that scripture. And he's looking at Queen Nefertiti that he saw on television. You know what they call Nefertiti? Instead of saying, God, give me a woman who fears God. Let me tell you something about prayer of faith. And we're talking about, John says something. If we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. So many of us saying that, okay, does God want me to have a car or not? Well, that is not actually what John was saying. Do you get my point? No, that's not what he was talking about. Even though that has some truth to it, but I don't know how to say this. It's a bit too, let me use the word superficial. Yes. It's too superficial when we're talking about the will of God. When we ask anything in accordance with his will, this is what John was saying. A very good example. Let's go back to this job matter. Okay, this husband matter. The Bible says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. We've established that. We understand that he that rules his spirit, the Bible says, is better than the one that takes a city. That is, if you understand that a wealthy man is like a strong man in that particular context. He said, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is like the flower of the field. All right? So what is flesh in this context is wealth, is money, is nothing, is ephemeral. Is that okay? Now, this is what the Bible calls the will of God. Back to the young woman. So if I want to pray, and I bring these things as things I need in the man I want to marry, I am praying against the will of God. Are you getting my point? You see, there's something I shared with us some time ago, and I've reasoned about it again and again. I think, in fact, every day I'm more convinced that I'm correct. That there are three commandments. The first three commandments of Moses' commandments. What are they? The first one, thou shalt have no other God before me. All right? Number two, so because people don't go to nursery school again. Eh? No, that's not number two. You should not make a graven image. That's number two. Didn't you do CRS in secondary school? You know, we have to memorize everything those days. In order. Don't mind me. I don't think I can even recite it in order again. But what's number three? Yes, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, that number three has been a funny one to explain for many people. So when you say, oh, Jesus, no, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. You say, oh, my God. You say, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. So we interpret it, don't use the name of the Lord as a swear word. Don't use the name of the Lord as a word of exclamation. Is that okay? Okay. But that's not what he said. I found out in the scriptures, there are a triad of commandments that perfectly describe the worship of God. The first one is, you have no other God before me. So let's take his name as Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever we want to use, or the Lord our God, all right? So, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. All right? So there's no other God. So this God, how do we relate with him? Number two, don't make an image of him. Don't carve him. You've never seen him. The day he came down, did you see anything? No. What did you experience? We heard words. The mountain was on fire and smoking because of his presence, but the only communication between us and him was not sight, was not a form, it was just words. So Moses said, be careful. Don't say you saw this on the mountain. Don't carve anything. Number two. The third one, literally, I read that, it was when I read Young's literal translation, I understood. He said, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. So people translated to mean, don't take it in vain. That was difficult for us to understand. How do you take it in vain? Either you take it or you don't take it. How do you take it in vain? So they said, okay, don't use it as a swear word. That was not what he said. He said, don't take his name for a vain thing. In that context, an idol is a vain thing. I have scriptures for it, but I don't want to spend time opening them now. All right? So what he said is this. You will enter into the promised land. You are going to find beautiful temples. And some of them will be to, well, let's just take Greek gods, to Zeus, to Apollo, and all of that. Don't remove the name Apollo or Zeus from it and place the Lord on it. Because the temple is beautiful. And unfortunately, we did a lot of that in Christianity. Some of us don't know. Some of our religions, that's what it was. Our festivals. We take a festival. Okay, it's a bit controversial, but let me just drop it. It's the reason why we say Jesus died on Friday and rose up on Sunday. It's very, very wrong. 2 days and two nights. He said 3 days and three nights. But let's not sit on that. Some people were worshipping other gods at that time. So the church came, removed their gods, and changed it to the death and resurrection of Jesus. God said, don't do that. I hope you're getting my point. So God says, see, there are things he calls vain. All right? He said, don't put the name of the Lord on a vain thing. I'm saying this because Christians have to be careful when we are praying that we don't pray about vanity. You don't look at a vain thing. God blesses people with things, gold, silver, and all of that. But when we bless that thing and say, this is the way God solves problems, we start worshiping it. So the young, you remember we're talking about a young woman who was praying. God said, I've given you some things that are vain. Don't put the name of the Lord on them. Are you getting my point? I pray we'll understand. Let me go to a mild level. When I say mild now, when you're even planning your wedding ceremony, as a Christian, not just wedding ceremony, anything now, you have to know things that are of value and things that are not of value. And you don't bring things that are not of value to God in prayer. Otherwise, you'd be a prayer of unbelief. Remember what I was saying? I want my future secure. It's a vain thing to say I must marry a rich man. So if I get on my knees and I ask God for it, even though he has expressed his opinion on the fact that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, he has already explained to you that, you know, wealth can fly away. He has already explained to you that all flesh is grass. He's saying, don't bring that matter when we are talking. You are showing to me that you are vain. Do you get my point? if you ever talk about it, it's so as to dismiss it. So when he's saying that, as in accordance with his will, okay? What did James say to us? He said, you ask not. He said, sorry. You have not because you don't ask. He said, but when you ask, you don't receive. Why? You are asking to satisfy your lusts. Do you see that? So what is in accordance with his will? I will make sure that this asking is not to satisfy my lust. It's not, does God want me to have a car or not? It's, I go and say, Lord, why do I want one? You know, anytime we'll go to the office now. If I want the, remember that time before I got married? Some of them, they have to try and buy a car. I say, why? Because my problem was that I thought you knew how much we all earned and how much they sold cars. How am I supposed to buy one from this money? He said, you know, say you have, you want to marry. And I say, if you go to your in-law's place, it's good you drive down. I already knew my wife. I already knew my in-laws. And I was trying to think in my mind. So that's supposed to do what to them? Like, no, you know, they will, you know, you have to show that you are a, I said, no, if you know my father-in-law, I already knew what impressed him. What impressed, I did, this boy too notebook. My father-in-law was very funny. He has a younger brother, all right, who's a pediatrician. So he understands the progression in medicine. So when he found out I was a senior registrar, ha! Like, what? You small boy, yeah, senior registrar. As far as he's concerned, how many wives do you want? Like, I can read two or three. Because that's what that concerned him. But let's not even talk about it. It's the man who was giving me advice that I should try. I should try and gather money. I should be able to buy a car so that when I drive down to my in-law's place, I didn't even know how to answer him. Say, Oga, don't worry about it. But even if you wanted to worry about it, there are worries that I can't have. You know why? The worry is not worryable. I know I've confused you. I want you to be very confused before I explain. This is what I mean by worry. If I say, Chibeze, I bet maybe find me like 10 million naira now, move to something by next week. So maybe you have like 5.5 million. You can worry about it. Do you understand? You don't have the whole 10, but you have 5.5. You can worry. Hey, where I go borrow balance from? If I sell this car now, will I get some money? But when I come and say, oh boy, like 25 billion at the final. You know that kind of thing, eh? You won't even... What is it? You're getting what I'm saying? If they find 25 billion, am I supposed to pray for you or like, you can't be asking me to help you. You, like, it's just not possible. That's what you're thinking. So that's what I mean by some worries are not worryable. I was like that at that time. The man said, I should try, but I said, you know, I can't even pray, but I don't know how to explain it, that there was no way forward. What did you be telling me that, please, when you are going, make sure you dress well? Do you follow my point? Wear nice shoes so that they won't... That, okay, put shoe in bag and wear slippers. When you get to their gate, remove the... Those are the things you'll be telling me, not that I should try. But this is where I'm going with that talk. If I now turn that to a prayer point because of the reason, that motivation he gave me, so you can impress your in-laws. The Bible says there are three things that are in this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. I am praying according to the pride of life in disobedience to his will. I hope I get my point. Do I need to tell you therefore? Many of the prayer meetings we have in church today. Do you think God is listening? It's not bothering. It's not bothering. And which is why, if you are in ministry, please bear this in mind. Teach people the word before they can pray effectively. If they don't know the word, they can't pray effectively. There are people that are worrying God, this year. God said, see, this time you are setting for me. The reason why you are setting it, Father, Amaka has married. Give me other names. Angela has married. Give me names. I need like five. Chinelo has married. Cynthia has married. Ngozi has married. Father God, you will do my own this year. Ngozi, I ain't doing nothing. And then they are there in church, vibrating. Ah, ah, ah. In the name of, amen. You will now say, Father, this seed in my hand is to unlock. God said, do you know why I'm not answering? I answer her. The only thing she has to tell me is I should look at her marker. I should look at Ngozi. I should look at Cynthia. I should look at Angela. I should look. That's all. So comparing herself with herself, you know, in quotes, themselves with themselves, they are not wise. That's against the will of God. Can I say this? God is not against anybody wanting good things. You understand? There's nothing wrong with Father God, I'm tired of being single. I don't like it anymore. It's very godly, very spiritual. Say two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Very sound, very scriptural. Are you getting my point? I'm not comparing myself with anybody else. If anything, I'm comparing myself with standards that God set. Say two are better than one because they have the reward for their good reward for their labor. If one is tired, the other one will hold him up. A threefold cord cannot be easily broken. God, me, him, you, the threefold cord. Perfect. That's what they call pray in accordance with his will. But things that, Father, at the age of 40, how can we not? Thank you. Those things don't move the Lord, though. He'll just be looking at you like, you will pray tired. He won't listen. Well, for us to be able to pray in faith, I'm talking about the prayer of faith, it's important we have understanding of divine reasoning process. That's it. If we don't follow that, we are praying in what? Unbelief. You know, I said all of this just trying to explain. I was trying to remind us of some things that are the opposite of the prayer of faith. I just remember that I did not include this one. The prayer you are praying, in which you are saying, God, disobey yourself. Disagree with yourself. For example, my bank account is low. Father God, add more money to the account. God say, why? I told you don't lay up treasure on this earth. Have you ever heard this one before? It has happened before. Somebody go and buy lottery ticket and say that God issue, that should be the winning number. It sounds funny. You know, why I say some of this is that people do them. And if you don't address them, they don't realize that they are not right. There are those who have been buying every lottery. Now, some are drinking, let me not mention the name of the soft drink, because there's number inside. So you can use to play, if you drink a drink, you understand, for normal drinking purposes, and you give them the number, and they say you want 2 million, collect your money. I'm not saying, do you care my point? I'm not, but then to start, when I was serving, then Pepsi, I've already mentioned their name, so I can't say some other things I wanted to say. No, they're not the ones that are doing the one I'm saying now, but them, Pepsi. They did something nationwide at that time. They said they were giving out cars, television, generators, all kinds of things. All you needed to do was to spell it. So, like now, if the car at that time was a Daewoo, it was one Korean car. So, Daewoo is spelled D-A-E-W, then double O, all right? So, 6 letters. So, as you are drinking, remove the cap, you find D inside, you keep. Now, usually what they do is that they make something, one thing scarce. So, you will, O will not be a problem. You go get O, like O is every bottle. That W may be the one that only God. And they have 7 cars to give. So, nationwide, there will be 7 W's. So, there were people that had D, A, E, O-O. That W, they not get. So this guy in my camp, it was a NYC official. This guy was always drinking Pepsi. He was always drinking Pepsi. So that, you know, his own was someone that once he drinks, opens the cap, he finds a D, he just throws it on the wall. There's no point. He has all the collection. He now made a statement, I couldn't believe my ears. He said, we were in Taraba State. He said he had drunk in Kaduna. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. I'm telling you, no. I don't have to swear for you. I'm like, to be taking an oath. No. I was watching this guy. Say, I drank in Kaduna. He didn't get it. Now it was now in Taraba. He would drink that. He thinks that maybe he should go and drink in Ibadan. Brethren, I'm not kidding. I still remember the guy stoning the bottles on the wall, the caps. He just look, that the guy said he had drank here and there. The guy was not even winning generator, and he wants a winker. He had the complete set minus the key letters in about 5 different price categories. Now, in case you're a Christian, let me just quickly tell you now. You can't take that matter to God in prayer. Let me just tell you, if you mistakenly go near, you will hear the voice of the Lord say, pack all of them and put in the dustbin. Let Eswama carry it away. After you have done that, then you have peace. That thing, you're not winning anything. No, do you know there are people who are believing God that this one that they prayed, that they bet that Netherlands will beat Morocco. The father, because of them, Morocco beat Netherlands. You're laughing. I'm telling you. There are those who stake their whole life on Japan beating Brazil because they know that that one, the odds, you know that Brazil is the one that, in fact, that one said, I read the news, say, man, the last minute, but Brazil put one inside. Is that not true? It's because of those who are praying. They have gone to bed. They put like, and then, please, let me just quickly drop this for some people. I hope you're learning something.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You have to know that this world is very wicked. I need to explain that to you, the wickedness of this world. They will tell you, they will mention one celebrity. Because we are streaming, I won't tell you the name of one guy they used to mention. Let's just assume somebody like Chibex, all right? He's not a musician, that's too busy. But they're just calling Chibex, all right, Chibex. So he's a well-known musician in Nigeria. Do not tell you, Chibex made like $20,000 on Bet Something during this last game. Have you seen in the papers? Yeah. Don't be deceived. It's a scam. Don't be deceived. It's a scam. Did that guy win $20,000 in that bet? Yes. Except that he probably didn't give them a dime. They probably placed bets in every category for him with a lot of money. And they published for you the one that won. Why? So that all the young people that want to be like Chibex, next match, they are all at the betting shop, bringing out their app and putting their bets in. Please, I know people like you are too old for that nonsense. It's young boys in university. Sorry, that's young boys. Young people. Because I find that even girls, they bet. Before, I thought it was a sin of boys. In fact, the day I knew that things were bad was when I heard the Reverend Father had joined them. The Reverend Father, he came to his house one day. He saw his security man had bought television, bought generator, bought things. Say, what happened? The guy said, man, he hit during betting. Now, father, true gist. Now, father started to see the boy that said, nah, but you can't show me how far. Reverend Father queued behind security man. That one, they show and say, this. Oh, please, the main thing I want to teach us is, you know, I've not reached it, but you are used to me behaving like that, right? So let's see, maybe God will allow us, because I want to talk about having the passion of God, very important in our lives. But let's see whether we'll do that next time. So, a young man, now listen to this, very important. Those of you who bet, and you go to God to go and pray that your bet will win, the Lord will have to discipline you severely. That's a prayer of unbelief. He said you should not like quick money. I don't want to start going to the scriptures on quick money now. You can't ask him to give you quick money. He doesn't do that. No young university student or secondary school boy, because not only university student now, from secondary school, they look for money now. You can't go and nail that at night and sow a seed that by next week you should be a multimillionaire. That is a prayer of unbelief. Let me tell you what you should be praying for. Are you listening? That you'll understand physics. You're a management student. That you understand management. And that God will help you with enough money to do your project. That's all. That's the realm. Because each season has, you know what he said? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So cover that day with prayer. Don't worry about the next day. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. It's a sin. like I said, I didn't know how to say these things, but many people don't know. One pastor, I told you now, last time when I was teaching, that one pastor is somebody I know, believing very well. He said he was an usher in their church. And the days of Word of Faith, people were learning faith, how to claim things from God by faith. And he heard the lady say, he says, not they told me. He said, if they told me, I wouldn't have believed it. Except I heard it myself. Ask God for anything in the name of Jesus. Father God, I want you to give me sister so-so-so and so's husband. He said, if they told me, I wouldn't believe. He said, but I heard it with my ears. I was an usher in that church. That's the prayer of what? Unbelief. Because that shall not covet your neighbor's goods or his wife. I understand? Of course, by implication, her husband. That's a critical prayer of unbelief that people are praying. If you decide to go and be betting, you can't ask crypto price to go up. Because you bought it. One of our brothers the other day, I was talking with him. I was abusing him very well. Because he went and started doing crypto trading. Which you all know is a scam. Hey, I know some people, when I preach against what they do, they are angry. You know why God sent you to me is that nobody else will tell you. They will not tell you about one man who's online making a lot of money. I said, that guy who's online making a lot of money, he's making money from teaching you how to do it. He's not doing it and making money. So when I finished, it's like one of our good brothers. I said, oh boy. I said, I leave him in. And that's why I'm telling this story. I said, go home. Go and liquidate all your so-called crypto assets. He said, yeah, he was waiting whether they will recover small. I said, no. Go home. I said, and let me tell you something. Once you finish liquidating them, the price will go up a bit. I said, Satan telling you, come back. I said, run. If you are listening to me, you know my opinion of that. And this, my opinion, is not a business opinion. It's a spiritual opinion. Obey it. Do you know, as I was telling him, he said, one particular, he gave me the price. But I was not using my children in the car. One of my children said, daddy, it had already dropped like 10% since I spoke with the man. Unless I was telling somebody else, it has dropped another like 20%. I said, I hope the brother listened. Because the more you are waiting for it to recover, the more your money is disappearing. Where I'm going is that you can't go and put your money in MMM and get on your knees and Father God, in Jesus' name, they will not collapse. Are you crazy? Before you finish, in fact, that prayer is what will collapse them. You know what's MMM? Huh? Okay, some people may be listening to this when they don't know. MMM is you give help, Abby, and you get help. You tip from yourself and give Paul, hoping that Paul will tip from somebody else and give you. But there's the one that says invest 100,000 within maybe like 2 months, you get like 300,000, stuff like that. And they, of course, we all know there are Ponzi schemes. Is it Ponzi or pyramid? Okay. No, that's not Ponzi. That's a pyramid scheme. Yeah, that is a pyramid scheme. There are pyramid schemes, they always collapse. This point I'm making is that young men, young women, let's see with men. Women are not too bad yet. Young men, please, you can't kneel down and say, God, it will not collapse until I've collected my money. That's the prayer of what? Unbelief. I was saying, you cannot ask God to disobey his word. You cannot ask God to disobey his principles. And you cannot ask God to kill your mother-in-law. Someone there to hear that. One guy I know, he came to the office. I was laughing. I said, what is funny? He said, my mother-in-law don't die. He said, the witch has died. I looked at him, shame on you. He was laughing. He was so happy. He said, the witch don't die. I should leave that in. You can't sow a seed that somebody should die. I hope you're getting my point. If you don't like your mother-in-law, what do? You pray for her. That's what the Bible says. Please, I'm done with what I'm saying now. We'll just leave it here. Next time, God allows us, I'll go back to that passion of God, you know, having God's heart in a matter. All right? But what I've said today is that you cannot pray and ask the Lord to go against his own principles. Like I said, God, I want to lay up treasure on the earth. In the name of Jesus, bless me so I can lay up treasure on the earth. doesn't do that. Because he has said, don't lay up treasure on the earth. Because on this earth, moth destroys. And thieves do break in and what? And steal. So if you have to pray, say, Father God, give me the strength or give me the wisdom and the resources to lay up treasure where? In heaven. Yes. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? You know. Give to the poor, like he said. Being a generous giver. So anytime there's an opportunity, he said your opportunity to pray is your, what do you call it now? Yeah, opportunity to pray that God should give you something to be able to give. I hope you're getting my point. That is one form of prayer of unbelief that I forgot to mention. But I hope you have learned something from that this evening. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, thank you for insight. Thank you for understanding. Just say, Lord, thank you for insight. Thank you for understanding. That's it. Say, Lord, thank you for insight. Thank you for understanding. And ask the Lord, Lord, give me that spirit of faith. Give me that spirit of faith. So be content with what you said is important.
Let's thank the Lord for the word we have received. This word will bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. That will not pray prayers that are not of faith. Our prayers at all times will be prayers of faith, praying according to the will of God. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.